All right, let's turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Man, what a great day to be in the Lord's house today. Looking around and know the importance that each of y'all has here in Easter and the resurrection time. And such a great time to be in God's house. I was thinking this week, man, how great it must be to be in heaven. I was thinking my dad being in heaven during Easter, and just the of course, obviously Christ is there and all that. Man, just a glorious time, because I would imagine the angels continue rejoicing. And just I know one thing, I wish he was here, but man, he's having a good time there. That much I do know. Matthew chapter 27, we'll read verse 54, and it says this: Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, to be here today. And Lord, for Easter Sunday, and Lord, just all that it means to us, Lord God, as Christians. And Lord, what we hang our beliefs on, our salvation on, is Christ died and rose again. And, Lord, we can, Lord, I pray that somebody here needs to accept him as their personal Savior today. Be a great day, a wonderful day on Easter Sunday to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Lord God, I thank you for those that are here, Lord, that have come and to celebrate, Lord, and to worship Jesus Christ, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we read the verse, Lord, and God, just think about that time. And, Lord, even put it in today's, Lord, world, in our own life, Lord God, there are things, Lord, I know I can look back at my life and say, truly, the Son of God worked here. Truly, the Son of God did something in my life. And, Lord, I pray that's true throughout this congregation. Lord, thank you for Gilgrove Baptist Church. Lord, this is the best church there is, Lord, and I'm so thankful to be here, to be a part of it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that goes into all the ministries, and Lord, just the group that is here today. Lord, you brought us together today on Easter Sunday at this appointed hour. This is no mistake. This exact group, this is what you had from the beginning of time to come here and be here at Gilgrove Baptist Church on Easter Sunday 2022. God, I pray that souls will be saved, lives will be changed. Lord, we invite you to come to this service and be here among us today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, Brother Jason. Amen. Thanks again for the music this morning with the choir, and then the quartet, and then Mrs. Hayes and Amber with the offertory. Man, that's a lot of work, and I appreciate that. And just, man, just offering praise to the Lord. Thank you for the music and congregational singing, and our instrumentalists, Mrs. Chris and Mrs. Hayes. So thank you for all of that this morning. I mean, so good to have you here on this Sunday morning. And I saw Mrs. Tia and Elijah and Elena sneak in there. Good to see y'all this morning. And, man, thank y'all so much, all the different people that are here. I'm so glad you're in the house of God this morning. We read in Matthew chapter 27, just the one verse there. And I want to just take a few minutes this morning and look at what the Bible says there and about this verse number 54 that we read. And it mentions this person in verse 54, it mentions this centurion. And he's there at the crucifixion. And we're, you know, I was thinking about this week and studying for this. We don't know really anything about this person. The Bible doesn't even give us his name. But the Bible says here at the end of Matthew 27, as the crucifixion is really just about done, that this centurion is standing there watching. And most of y'all know this, but a centurion would have been somebody that was really a leadership position in the Roman army, but he would have been a soldier and more than likely put there for the purpose of keeping order, watching what was going on, making sure everything was under control. And, you know, as far as we know, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about him, if he was a normal Roman centurion, a normal Roman soldier, would not have been steeped in the religion of the Jews or wouldn't have known. We don't even know if he knew who Jesus was. We don't know. The Bible tells us throughout the Gospels that many multitudes came to hear Jesus. So we know a lot of people knew who Jesus was. But we don't know in the known world that at that time, if those that, you know, we think about that sometimes in our world, and those in certain circles we follow, you know, if you enjoy sports, you assume everybody knows who sports players are, and they don't all know that. If you follow
politics. You assume that everybody knows people's names, and not everybody does. And so I don't know in this case if this centurion knew who Jesus was, if he had heard of Jesus, if he ever had heard Jesus before, what his knowledge of that was. I do know this, he had been put there, not necessarily was his job, that was the work that he was doing. And so he's there at the crucifixion of Christ. I know this, if he would been had any experience at all, and since he was in a leadership position, we'd assume that he'd been a soldier for a while. This wasn't the first crucifixion he had been to. The crucifixion was a fairly, at that time, something that happened not all the time, but fairly often, where they would use crucifixion in punishment for those who had committed crimes. And as we know the story of the crucifixion, Jesus wasn't the only one being crucified that day. There was two others with him. And so this would not have been the first time that he had seen a crucifixion. It wouldn't be the first time he had seen someone punished and die. And so he's there, and you think about as he's standing there watching what's going on, and again, maybe a little, we would imagine this, the crowd that was there was a little different, a little bigger, I'd imagine, than most that died through crucifixion, and so that had to be a little different for him. But I was thinking about as he was standing there and he saw all that was going on. I'm going to ask you this morning, and Brother Jason alluded to this a little bit. Let me ask you about this for you. What have you seen in your life? You think about, you go back through your life, and what are some things that you have seen go on in your life? And we tend to, yeah, of course, we'll think about those things and we'll sing about it and we'll talk about it in the house of God, and it's true. Man, that how Jesus has touched our lives and how our lives have been shaped by decisions. But there was, you know, some here this morning, you say this, you said, you know, there's some things in my life that I've seen that I don't know why they happened. There's some things in my life that I've seen that I don't necessarily understand. There's some things in my life that I've seen that, to be honest with you, not that excited about. And maybe some choices you made, or it could be just some circumstances that happened. And you, as this centurion standing there, and you think about the things that he had seen, I wonder those things as he worked there for the Roman government, a successful soldier or some sort of leadership position, but I wonder about the things he had seen, about the brutality maybe he had seen or maybe he had been a part of, or maybe in his own life, you know, when he looked at his own life, thought, man, this things haven't worked out the way I wanted them to. Or it could be some things that he's seen, and being successful as he was, man, everything's going great, and I have all that I want, and whatever the case would be, I don't know what his situation was, and I don't know what your situation is. I don't know, as you look back at your life, what you have seen. I don't know those things that you've had to deal with. But I know this centurion has lived his life, and he's in a position now where he sees what's going on here. And I don't know how old he was, how many days he had lived. I don't know any of that. But I do know, as we just sang about one day, that on this day, he's there at the crucifixion. And God is, for some whatever reason, he's been put here. This is, again, the job that he has, where he is. But I do know this, on this day, whether it be for the first time or whether it be the first time that really meant anything to him, I do know on this day, as we read in Matthew chapter 27, on that day, that man saw Jesus. He saw Jesus. And he saw Jesus there, and we look at what happened and how it changed him. And I just want to read. We'll go to a couple scriptures. I want you to see a couple things that happened when he saw Jesus. Look at verse number 54 that we read at the beginning. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. You know, the first thing he saw, the Bible talks about when this happened, and in another passage it mentions this as well. There was darkness for about 3 hours as Jesus was on the cross, and you imagine that. In that darkness that came about, and And then at that same time as that darkness came about, the Bible says there was an earthquake. And you think about this centurion, and he's seen a lot of things go on, and yet he's at this crucifixion, and more than likely he'd never been to a crucifixion that was accompanied by an earthquake. But when that earthquake hit, and that earthquake was there, and again, he's not the only person there. There are multitudes of people, and those that were there to see Jesus crucified. He wasn't there necessarily to see that. He was just there because that was his responsibility. But the Bible says he saw the earthquake and greatly feared God. Let me tell you something this morning. When you see Jesus, one thing should happen. It should greatly cause you to fear God. You know, one of the problems in our society today is a lack of fear of God. I want you to run to a couple of scriptures. Go to Psalms chapter 36. Mr. Cliff, I'm going to go to the main mic here. This thing is still not doing right. If you can turn me on the pulpit mic, thank you. Go to Psalms chapter 36. Psalms chapter 36. And we see the sin and the wickedness in our world today in Psalms chapter 36. And the Bible gives us this verse here. Look at verse number 1. And we could go through the chapter, but we'll just stay in verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. You know what the problem with the wicked is? There's no fear of God. You know what the problem with America is today? You know what the problem with the sin? You know what the problem with this whole transgender movement? You know the problem with abortion? You know the problem with homosexuality? You know the problem with sin and alcoholics and all that in our world today? And the problem is there's no fear of God. It goes against God. And we look at the condition our country is in, and you may look around and say, man, our country's in bad shape financially. And it is, all right? I've put some gas in my car this week, and it is, all right? It's not in great shape financially. And you may say, our country's in bad shape politically. And I won't make any political comments this morning, all right? But it is, all right? But it is. Their country, but I tell you what's more important than what our country is like financially or economically, politically, any of those things. The problem is our country spiritually where it is. And because there's no fear of God. You know, when there's a fear, it's going to change your behavior. In fact, the Bible says that that fear is something not only we should have, but something we should teach those that come after us. Go very quickly to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, when this centurion saw Jesus and he saw that earthquake, the power of God, the Bible says that there was a fear. One of the things that happened, he saw the earthquake and greatly feared God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 9. Moses giving the commandments here to the children of Israel says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. He says, don't forget what you've seen. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Those things you have seen, those things you've seen in your life, teach them to your children. Verse 10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Oreb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. The problem is, as we get into each generation, we lose that fear of God. And make sure that not only you have a fear of God, but you teach that to your children. Hey, by the way, when you have a fear of God, you're supposed to, it won't be any problem to get into the house of God, because you'll want to be there. Hey, when you have the fear of God, you're supposed to, it won't be a difficulty for you to live right. It doesn't mean it'll be easy, but you'll be able to make right choices because you fear God. When this centurion saw the earthquake, the Bible says he greatly feared God. Then go to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. For the first time, very well could have been, I don't know, this centurion saw Jesus. And when he did, the Bible says he saw the earthquake and he greatly feared God. Then look at Mark chapter 15. Same story, different passage. At the crucifixion, go to Mark chapter 15 and verse number 39.
Mark chapter 15, verse 39, same man and parallel passage here in Mark. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, that means he was watching him, watching over, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. You know, he saw the earthquake and he greatly feared God. Then the Bible says he saw him cry out and give up the ghost. That means he saw Jesus die. So here in Mark chapter 15, he saw the death of Christ. And what did he say? He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. You think about what this centurion saw. He saw that bruised and beaten body, right? He saw those that mocked him and that beat him and that scourged him. And he saw that flesh of Jesus be whipped and torn. He saw that. He saw those that made fun of Christ. They mocked him. They said, hey, if you're who you say you are, why don't you get down off that cross? That centurion is standing there watching. He saw all that. He saw them place that crown of thorns and push that down in his head, right? He saw them nail his hands and his feet to that cross. That centurion saw all that went on as they went through the process of crucifying and killing the Son of God. Hold your place there. Go to Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52. Isaiah chapter 52 and verse number 14. Isaiah 52, verse 14, as many were astonished at thee, his visage, his appearance, was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Go to chapter 53, verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. As that centurion saw, no beauty that he should desire him. Verse 3, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know what that centurion saw? He saw the body battered. He saw Jesus take that punishment. And I don't know when it was during that process, but I hope you understand this morning, Jesus took that for you. At some point, that centurion, as he saw what Jesus did, you know, as he heard him and he watched him, he heard him say what? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You heard him cry that out on the cross. And man, if we could have been there and seen, and I don't know what it looked like, but to see Jesus where God had to turn his back on him, you know why? Because of your sin and because of my sin. That centurion saw all that. He heard him say that. And as he did, he said, truly, this man is the Son of God. It's so interesting to me. He didn't just say, hey, this guy's different. Hey, this must be somebody special. No, he said, this is the Son of God. And he saw what he went through. He saw the death and the pain that he took on him. And he said, this is the Son of God. He saw the earthquake and he greatly feared God. He saw the death of Christ and he said, truly, this was the Son of God. And then go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Again, same story, different passage. Luke chapter 23. And verse number 47. He saw the earthquake. He greatly feared God. And he saw the death of Christ and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Then look at verse 47. Now when the centurion saw what was done, when he saw what had happened, he glorified God. This centurion saw what was done and he glorified God. You say, well, what do you mean he saw what was done? Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's back up a few verses and look at verse number 32. There are also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. You know what he saw? He saw and heard Jesus say, Father, forgive. From the cross, he heard him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know, as you read this passage, you see right after that, it mentions they parted his raiment and cast lots. And obviously, Jesus forgives all. Forgiveness is open to everyone. And so it doesn't mean that Jesus didn't forgive the Jews, but if you look at this specifically, I think Jesus talking about those Roman soldiers, they didn't know what was going on. They didn't. Those Jews knew. Now, it doesn't mean those Romans weren't culpable for their actions. They were, but as you read there, those are the ones that cast lots for that raiment. And this centurion was one of those Romans. And Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, you imagine as he sat there and he listened to that, he said, what is this guy saying? And who's he talking about when he says, Father? What does he mean, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? And then he watches a little further along. Go down to verse number 40. The two thieves were on the cross. And let's go to verse 39. And one of the malefactors, one of these thieves, which were hanged, railed on him, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That centurion heard him say, he said to one of these thieves, today you'll be with me in paradise. Imagine a centurion hears that. What is it? Who is this guy? Hey, today you're going to be with me in paradise? What is he talking about? Of course, later on, not in this passage, but in other passages, he hears Jesus say what? It is finished. As he's dying on the cross there, he says, it is finished. And then look at verse number 46. The Bible tells in verses 44 and 45 about the darkness that was there, the temple veil being rent. Verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. You know what else centurion heard? He said, here once again, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I guarantee you, this centurion has seen a lot of things. And some Bible scholars have studied this, that if he had been there for years and years, he'd probably seen thousands of crucifixions. But I guarantee you, he never heard anyone say, into thy hands I commend my spirit. No, because Jesus was giving up his life for us. They couldn't take it from him. But Jesus was giving his life on the cross for us. This centurion saw what was done. He saw all that Jesus said and all that Jesus did as he was on the cross. And notice what it says in verse number 47. When the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And the Bible says he glorified God. That word for glorified there, in the Greeks, I got Chris here this morning, so I got to keep up on my Greek. If you go to the book of Luke, and it talks about when the shepherds heard about the birth of Christ, and they went and saw Jesus, they went and they left, they glorified and praised God. That glorifying of God, that's more than just praise the Lord. No, that means he went out and published and went out and told and went out and shared with others what he saw. Just as those shepherds saw Jesus and they went and told others, this centurion not only said, truly this man was the Son of God, but as he saw Jesus and who Jesus was, he went to tell others about what he had seen. Many of you heard this testimony, I'm sure, before, but in 1887, there was a young man, early 20s, successful in the career that he was in. He was out with some of his friends, and right down the street where he was walking, there was a mission that had set up sort of outside service. And they were having an outside service, church service, and they were singing some hymns. And as he stood there, he heard those hymns. He began to think of some hymns that his mom had sang to him when he was a child. Hymns that he had not thought about for a long time. And he heard those hymns, and as that singing took place, it sort of drew him closer. There's a man outside, and he said, hey, why don't you come in to the service? So the young men stepped into that service and listened to the testimonies. They had many testimonies they were given, more really than a message. And then at the very end, a very short salvation message. And he came back again next several nights. And about 4 or 5 nights later, a lady, a little older lady whose husband had started that mission, took the Bible and sat down with him and explained to him that he was a sinner, that he needed a Savior, that Jesus Christ had died on the cross to pay for his sins, and not only had died on the cross, but had rose again. And that young man, in 1887, at the Pacific Garden Mission, trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He saw Jesus. Hey, in his background, known a little bit about it as a child, but as an adult, for the first time, he really saw Jesus. Of course, most of you know that same young man gave his life to preach the gospel and would later reach millions for Christ by the name of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday, as a young man, heard that music, went in, got saved. Interesting, too, this is not, I knew I was going to use the illustration there, but the last song we sang was written by Wilbur Chapman, who worked with Billy Sunday and really helped him into evangelism. But Billy Sunday reached hundreds of thousands for Christ. You know why? Because when he saw Jesus, not only did he trust Christ as a Savior, he realized, hey, this is the Son of God, but he began to publish and to tell and to glorify God through his life. You know, this morning, I would imagine you're here in the house of God. You've heard about Jesus before. Man, we've heard the singing and the music. What a wonderful thing. And I think about this centurion. And we read in verse 47 there, he saw what was done. He glorified God. You know what else? You know what else that centurion got to see? Hey, that centurion, he got to see what? An empty cross. You know that? He didn't just see Jesus on the cross. He saw Jesus off the cross. He saw the empty cross. And then 3 days later, guess what? That centurion, he got to go by and see an empty tomb, right? Hey, there's an empty cross and an empty tomb. Because Jesus wasn't just a man. No, Jesus was truly, he was the Son of God. Hey, let me ask you this morning. Have you met Jesus? Do you know him? Have you seen him? Say, well, not literally. No, not literally. But I'm talking about, have you met Jesus? Just as Billy Sunday, they explained to him the plan of salvation. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins too. He died for your sins so that you also might be saved. And there's an empty cross and there's an empty tomb. And I tell you this morning, if you don't trust Christ as your Savior, you die without Christ, you spend an empty eternity away from God in a place called hell. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, man, we have a hope. Not only one day the resurrection took place, but no, one day Jesus is coming again. Hey, let me ask you, do you know Jesus? Can you say, truly this man, the Son of God, and not only is He the Son of God, but He's my Savior. Let me ask you this also this morning, because I know we have some visitors in, and I think some visitors in this morning, they're probably saved. But if Jesus is really the Son of God, like you say, then why aren't you living for Him? Hey, this centurion saw it. Changed his life. Hey, how come you're going back to the same things you've been doing over and over and over and over again? You know that He... Let me ask you, do you believe He is the Son of God? He is. Hey, and if your heart and your mind truly He is the Son of God, then how come it hasn't changed your life? How come it hasn't changed your life? What would it take? Hey, Billy Sunday on that, hey, he's living a life and he's doing okay. He was successful baseball player. But let me tell you something, God did something. He said, hey, I can't just sit by and watch. I've got to do something for God. Hey, this morning, what's it going to take? What's it going to take in your life? You say, well, you don't know what's happening. I know this. As this centurion said, truly this man was the Son of God. I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, and He saved me. And if He saved me, why would I not want to live for Him? Let me ask you this morning, do you really believe I'm saved? Do you really believe He's the Son of God? Then what are you doing for Him? Everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. Let me ask you this morning, the most important decision you'll ever make. You're here this morning on Easter Sunday. Do you know that you know that you know that you know if you were to die today that you go to heaven? We sang that song, and one day there was a crucifixion. One day there was a resurrection, but one day He's coming again, and that's exciting. But I'll tell you something. Let me tell you something. You're not saved. He's still coming. He's still coming. And so that should be something that motivates us to do more for Him, those that are saved, and I hope this morning convicts you if you're not saved, because He is coming again. If you're here this morning, you say this, say, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm not trusting in the church. I'm not trusting in baptism. I'm not trusting in my good works. I'm not trusting in my family. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ because He's the Son of God. He died for me. He paid for my sins. I've accepted Him as my Savior. If you can say this morning, just slip your hand up and say, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven through Jesus Christ. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you. Here this morning, you say this. You say, I don't know. Maybe I'm like the centurion and I don't have a background. Maybe I do. I'm like Billy Sunday and I have some things when I was younger that I knew about Christ, but I've never really accepted Christ. And this morning, you say, pray for me. I'm not sure if I was to die today that I go to heaven. I won't embarrass you at all, I promise you that, but I wish you'd be honest before God this morning. Just slip your hand up. If you do that for me, just slip your hand up, say, pray for me. Anybody else say, pray for me this morning. I'm not sure about my salvation. Hey, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're on the way to heaven. And listen, if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, those of you that raise your hand that you're saved, there's no way to be saved if we don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. So if that's true, then what are we doing for Him? Hey, is this centurion? We see truly this is the Son of God. I've got to go glorify Him with my life. Are we doing that this morning? What's keeping us from it? Hey, decide this morning. Decide, I'm tired of just going through the same routine over and over and over. And man, the Lord will speak to me in church and maybe I'll think about doing something. But I don't. No, but make some changes today. So we'll do something for Him. I'm going to glorify Him with the life He's given me because He is the Son of God. He is. As the music plays this morning, the Lord spoke to you. You come forward. Thank you. Listen, Dan, thank you so much for coming on Easter Sunday. Listen, I don't want I don't want you to come in and go home and say, all right, I made it to Easter Sunday. No, man, let God change your life. Let him change your life. I was talking to somebody this week, and man, he's got a couple children. I said, man, you better get in the house of God, man. Those children are important. Let me tell you, you got children, they grow up quickly. It's gone quickly. I've got to go next, less than a month, I got to take Jeremiah to take his learner's test. And it goes by quickly. Let me tell you, it's gone in no time. Man, don't waste the life God has given you, man. You got children, you got family. Man, get them in the house of God. Get here in the house of God. Don't just go through life the way you've been going. Man, if you believe he's the Son of God, make some changes and want to live for him. Again, thank you for being here. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. We'll be doing the Lord's Supper. And have a great week. I want us to listen. I don't want to be the Easter. All right, I'll see you again next year, all right? I want to see you next week. I want to see you sooner than that again, all right? But I want you to be here more often. Thank you for being here today. Father, thank you for all those that came. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to not just be satisfied with where we are. Lord, but if we really, 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 really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus died to pay for our sins, that Jesus rose again on Easter morning and has ascended to the right hand of the Father, Lord, I should change where we live. So I pray we would, Lord. I pray we'd seek to publish that, to tell others, to glorify you because of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.